like
often,
semi-regularly. So kind of, I guess, giving a bit of explanation to those. I have a specific explanation I want to give because I thought it was really funny.
Oh, the fraud one? Well, I guess first
the fraud,
we should ask,
the fraud one was really good.
We should ask Kez, though, what he's gathered about it, just to compare notes.
Okay, what I eventually gathered was that if your number is white, then you are human, and you can be invaded, and you can touch summoning marks that are on the ground, and the person who joins you, as a friend, will stick with you until they die or until you mutually beat the boss of the area. Mm-hmm. And okay, that's all I know about those. Also, some of them are not actual humans, but like Knight Solaire, instance, will just they give you NPC ones if it's a boss that they think you need help with or that it's designed that you have like help with. And I can really, any boss that has like two free moving components to it is basically like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then being invaded, if you're a human, people will constantly appear out of nowhere and attack you and try to murder you, and you're supposed to murder them back. Or you can get them to go away by charging at the boss door, and if you get to the boss door, then they'll just leave.
Yeah, yep. They have to leave if you... They get disconnected if you go to the boss door.
Yep. So, the invasion mechanics, to explain those first, you can only be invaded in an area where the boss is not defeated.
Right. Once you defeat the boss, the area is safe. You can no longer be invaded or summon people there.
Oh.
Yep. So, you also... the invader is like using an item called the Cracked Red Eye Orb, which you found later in the game.
There's a couple different invasion items, but that's the most common.
Hmm.
Yep. To enter your area, they're there to kill you and get a humanity for doing it.
Yeah. If they kill you, they get a humanity, and they also get an amount of souls based off your level.
Oh.
Yep. You can only be... This holds for invasions and summons. You can only be invaded by characters that are either lower level than you or characters that are within a certain percentage above you, which is 10% plus 10.
Yeah, your level plus 10 plus or minus, or your level plus or minus 10 plus or minus 10% is the lower range.
Yep. So when you're level 50, characters that are level 65 to 35. Actually, you can be invaded by anybody lower.
Yeah, but you can summon people level 35.
Right. Summoning is within that range.
Summoning has a lower cap, but invasion doesn't. And the reason it's supposed to make it more dangerous. So, like, you're a level 20 idiot, and you invade a guy who's level 700, and he crushes you.
Yep.
Which can happen. Mm. Although, level is not always proportional to power.
Yeah. I definitely got that. For one, because I had heard of the existence of the, like, level whatever run, and for another, because so much of your number comes from equipment.
Right.
It's almost always better to upgrade your equipment than to level, unless you're leveling to something in mind.
Right. With, like, health and stamina can also be very useful to level if you have nothing else to, because stamina, gets you more hits, health lets you take more hits.
Hmm.
Summoning mechanics, one thing to note there, every once in a while you would see a orange sign instead of a white sign.
Mm-hmm.
That meant that the player was in a specific covenant that was a specific help your buddy out co-op covenant.
Yeah, that's the Warriors of Sunlight. It's a Solaris covenant.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It supposedly makes you a higher priority for... connecting to other worlds for the purposes of being summoned. So, like, your summon sign will have more priority than a non-Covenant member's summon sign.
So, also, you can summon multiple people at once.
Yeah.
Buddies. If you wanted to, so say you wanted to go into Ornstein and Smo with, like, the super squad, you could summon two friends.
Yeah. But.
Oh.
But this is the fraud portion of it. So you summoned me on the Iron Golem.
Yes.
And I walked into that arena with you, I hit him twice with my sword. He mm-hmm. picked me up and threw me off a cliff.
Yes, I watched that happen.
When you summon an ally to a boss fight, mm-hmm. the boss gains, what, 50% extra health?
Something like that. Oh, it God. Depends on how many people you've summoned. So, like, the more people you bring, the boss sort of scales in order to make it, like, not
so
just...
So what you're telling me is that I fought maximally difficult Iron Golem.
I assisted you by fraud.
Yeah.
I entered the fight, I got thrown off a cliff, which was not the plan, but it was what occurred. And then you fought the Iron Golem at 1.5 times Iron Golem anyway and won.
Yeah.
God.
Which just made me laugh because afterwards you're like, yeah, thanks for coming in and helping. Like, yeah, I helped. Oh my God.
You son of a bitch.
Excellent.
It was great.
That was such a grind. I felt like I wasn't hurting him at all.
You had gone back to upgrade your weapon specifically because you weren't hitting the Iron Golem, so you brought the bigger weapon, then summoned me into the fight, and then attacked the Iron Golem, and it looked like you were doing the same amount of damage.
Yeah.
Because the bar, like, moved about the same.
Oh, Lord.
Probably a good time to talk about what humanity is and how it works, because it's so connected to co-op and PvP. Because the reward for helping someone beat a boss is humanity. Like, you get some souls and you get a humanity. That's the same reward for killing someone.
Mm-hmm.
Humanity is an item and a stat. You use the item and you get an extra one of the stat, like your number. Having a higher number actually has benefits than having no number.
Hmm.
So I guess is kind of a... You might want to back up one there.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive.
Defense. Well, humanity itself is listed in your stats, like at the bottom.
Yeah, it's there, and I understood it as item find chance.
Yeah, if you have more humanity between 1 and 10, it increases your item find rate. The most you get, like, you get the most benefit of having 1, and then you get diminishing returns until it caps at 10 humanity for item find.
Hmm.
But every humanity past that still increases your curse resistance, your resistances in general,
and your defenses.
About every point of humanity gives you about a point of one of every kind of defense.
Oh, you're kidding me.
So if you have, it's very expensive, but you can have 99 humanity and effectively have 100 free armor.
So I guess to quick back up on this, you may have noticed when you were leveling up, no matter what stat you put a level in, your defenses mm-hmm. would always rise.
Yeah.
Your defenses are a number determined by your armor and your total stats, adding together all stats.
Yeah.
Including humanity.
So yeah. So... The purpose of that is, for one, to make leveling every stat useful. Mm. It still manages to fail at this in some way.
Right.
But because there is one stat that does almost nothing, and is an attunement you never want too much of anyways. Like, you just want enough attunements to have the spells you want, rather than...
Right.
Resistance also does basically nothing, and is...
Well, because resistance ups your defenses, but every single point of stats also ups your defenses.
Right. Yeah. Oh, Lord.
So you could have put it into endurance or health and have more to your dollar than anything. Although leveling resistance does raise, like, your poison resistance more than anything.
And curse. So, it ups curse resistance more as well.
Well, there's, like... Yeah. Come on. There's, like, two things in the entire game that curse you, and one of them is, like, one of the super bosses or whatever. So.
Yep. Yeah. So, curse is very rare, so it's very narrow. The game has a lot of narrow solutions to narrow problems.
that's true.
Super weird.
And I kind of like that about it.
Well, I don't like it when it gets to the point where my inventory is huge and full of things that I don't remember where I got them, or if they're important or not. Important things and just sort of flavor things seem to be, like, bosom buddies inside your bag.
When we turn into the Persona 4 level of how many different attacks do you have? What do you have available to you to answer this narrow question?
You know
that level?
Maybe that explains it, because I really like Persona 4, too.
There are a ton of, like, quest item things that you get from you could just get 8 of them, you only need one, it doesn't do anything.
There's no item in Dark Souls which serves no purpose at all, because the snake exists. But then after that...
Again, that's a fail-safe, not really a purpose.
I would say the pendant.
Hmm.
But there's only... Well, even the pendant has a use. You can do a thing with it, with the crows.
Yes.
What?
Mm. You can also do that with the rubbish, but not with money. The coin items are actually worthless. They don't do anything.
All Father Lloyd's coin and then...
a trading. We'll get to trading later.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Right. I beat the Iron Golem.
Super Iron Golem.
1.5x. I beat him 1.5 times. In one fight, and got to Orlando. On Orlando, I called it Orlando pretty quick and never stopped calling it that.
It's the Golden City.
Mm-hmm. So there were big tall guys there, and I ignored most of them.
Yep.
And they ignored me, so that was great. I don't know why. I guess they're like flinch or chase distance or bubble isn't very large.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be like imposing, but let you pass.
Yeah, like sentries. Okay, cool.
Because at that point, you had sort of like earned the right to be in Anne Orlando or something. I don't know.
Well, you'd beat up a bigger, taller guy, so maybe we should leave you alone.
You got our gargoyles to accept you, so we'll not bother you unless you get too close.
Right. So there was. I felt like there was a bonfire every couple feet in that place, and that felt like. Fake after doing Sen's Fortress, that where there was like never a bonfire, and
there's a bonfire in Sen's
there's
Fortress.
There's a bonfire in Sen's Fortress.
You're kidding me.
No, there's a bonfire in Sen's Fortress. You did not.
It's sort of, it's semi hidden. There were message marks telling you where it was, but you never looked at them.
Oh, what the hell?
Yeah, it's
it's where the fire bomber starts. It's
when the fire bomber starts throwing bombs at you. There's like a little open area, and there's a corpse there with a large Titanite shard or something on it.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a lot of notes that say, try jumping.
Yeah, and if you look down from where those notes are, there's like a little gap in the ledge on the side.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bonfire down there.
Oh, God.
But it didn't matter that much now, because you found the shortcut with the cage.
Yeah, with the cage. I figured that was the thing. So yeah. I stopped thinking about
that.
That was
important to find.
It was.
If you had not found either, it would have been miserable, but you found one of the two, and it was good.
Okay. I don't feel so bad about that one.
Also, I guess, of note, you found the bonfire that was labeled, that was like the Anne Orlando bonfire with the Firekeeper lady by it.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was a central bonfire that was also warpable in an area called the Dark Moon Tomb.
Dark Moon Tomb.
Yeah.
That area has a... purpose. There's a secret there.
Oh.
There's two purposes there. You can join the cops.
Yeah, you can join the police.
Or you could murder the commissioner.
Oh,
he's a boss
remember.
Fight.
No, I remember picking up a ring there and being like, "This is weird."
You picked up the Ring of the Firstborn, which is a ring that makes your attack and miracles deal more damage. Which
useless. Okay.
He didn't have any, so he didn't do anything. But there were also probably a lot of messages there that said try ring, because you unlock all the police stuff if you put on the Dark Moon Seance ring
in
that room.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I must have had that for like a year up to that. I don't even remember where I found it.
It was in the catacombs.
Good
it was God. Hidden behind like giant skeleton.
Oh, giant skeleton.
So but it's a hidden place and you didn't find it. And you take the ring between playing.
Kaz, there are a hundred hidden things in the game, and I think we're only scratching the surface on the hidden things
All the same, I feel bad whenever I miss something like that because I spent so long like scraping my face against every surface trying to go anywhere.
That you know that you missed was the painting in the
That contraption does not move.
There is an area within the painting, but there's also another area you needed to go to that you did not return to.
And that can all, it will all be revealed with a simple fact.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
If you're in the elevator that takes you from the Undead Parish to Firelink Shrine,
mm-hmm.
right when you're going from the parish almost to the Firelink Shrine, right as you almost get to the bottom, there's like a little, there's like a roof that you can just walk onto as the elevator is going down.
Wait, seriously? I was always looking at the wall.
There's a roof. There's a platform you can kind of step out.
There's a little thing, and you go up there. And then you seemingly find nothing. There's like a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's like a buttress. The game loves its buttresses.
Oh, it really does. There were tons of flying buttresses outside of the Cathedral of the Painting.
Just roll onto that buttress, and then new things will be revealed. Now that we're talking about it, I want to talk about something that's a design level mistake in the game.
Hmm.
There's a lot of rough patches in the game that I'll forgive because of I love the game and I'll accept its roughness for what it is. But the buttress in Anor'Londo that you have to go up to advance is a design level mistake.
Do you mean the one where the guys are shooting huge arrows at you?
No. This is before that. When you fight the first gargoyle.
Yeah.
And there's just nothing, and you have to go up that buttress to advance.
Mm-hmm.
You had a message mark there to tell you where to go. Like, there was a message mark sitting on that buttress, and you're like, "Guys, this is probably a bad idea. I'll get stuck and die."
But it was the only way to progress.
But it's the only way to progress, and there's nothing the game does to tell you that buttress is where to go.
It also doesn't look at all like something you walk on.
Okay, I guess I'm going to actually snipe you here. There is one thing the game does to tell you to go up that buttress, and I'm sure you're aware of it. There's a miracle called Seek Guidance.
If you use the miracle Seek Guidance in key places.
Anyway, but that answer is like saying, "Yo, there was a that's a La Mulana answer."
Oh Jesus!
To say there was a tablet six rooms ago that, or like, you know, on the other side of this building, you should have read.
That has a cryptic hint that doesn't seem to refer to anything, and then.
And that's coming from me, a person that like actually has played and enjoyed playing La Mulana, so
I am baffled.
I know.
The miracle Seek Guidance. A developer message will show up on the buttress to tell you to go there.
Oh, so I just wanted to state that, because if I didn't, somebody would state it for me.
Okay. No, I gotcha.
Anyways, it's a design level mistake, and
well, I didn't mind that, I guess. Because, again, I had the message.
Yeah.
The second buttress...
With the archers
was...
See, I find that a reasonable challenge.
That was possibly the most frustrating thing in the entire game. Having played all of it and gotten through like what I've gotten through of the entire run, that was me at my most frustrated.
Yeah, that is the second brick wall of the game.
Yeah, the Capper Demon is the first. That's number two.
Then that's number two. It really asks you two things. It asks you, are you willing to run while getting shot at? And is your weapon strong enough to stun a Silver Knight? Because that's all the only two things you need is to run, and then when you get up to him, hit him. Or parry him, or do anything.
But you're under immense pressure, mistake kills you.
And a mistake kills you, and it's the game asking an incredibly hard question.
Right. Also, one of those mistakes can be locking on at the wrong time.
Yep. Yeah, it's very intense, and I respect it for that. And
I despise it for that. That was way, way too much, especially with how... With how slow the pace of all the rest of Orlando had been to that point, it almost felt wrong. It felt like completely off.
See, for me,
as if I had
like
spawned too many dudes somehow by mistake or something.
To me, it feels like the game like gearing up, because past that, Anor Londo becomes much more difficult.
Totally easy compared to that challenge.
I actually disagree with you there too. Like that, well, like past that, you fight Silver Knights and you fight them on a fair footing.
Yeah, you fight them on a fair footing, but they ask. But the Silver Knights also fight them. Another serious question.
I also fight them one at a time, and they don't generally shoot me. Or if they do, I can hide behind something because I have somewhere to step.
Like, I went in there knowing from having you with me, that this was going to be one of those parts.
Well, I didn't tell you it until it happened. But
yeah, but even, like, encountering it and being like, oh, and it was a thing that I, you know, fought for a while and made it through, but, like, it's...
I don't know. Maybe if I've... This is probably me having done it so often that it's not as much of a big deal anymore.
I was going to say it's you loving things that are immensely difficult, yet... still not a challenge that is determined by random chance.
Okay, I'll accept that every day of the week, because like, I do love that.
You're the person who wants to play Persona 4 on the highest difficulty and hates Persona 4 Golden for what it gives you.
That's a different skills cast, but that's true.
it's true. Yeah, I would say that might be an entirely different thing, but it's still a truthful statement on why you like it.
I really like how Dark Souls is
the part of that that I absolutely reject as being like within the bounds of fair challenge or whatever, is how inconsistently the arrow archers or whatever, lance archer, they're shooting huge things at me.
Yep.
For one, those lances would home in on me.
Yeah.
For another, there were like pinko gargoyle things at the bottom, the imps. And that made it way too much. I couldn't stand it.
Better yet, if you don't kill the imps before you charge up the other buttress, they'll start throwing their lances at you from behind.
Yep.
Oh, excellent.
They will hit you with lightning lances.
I never got to experience that particular joy.
You have to murder them.
I did, and I was under fire while doing so, and I hated it, because I still wasn't all that good at killing them.
Yeah, they're also kind of
so
you did at least find just bypassing the Adonis twins was the correct. I think that was honestly one of the area where you decided to try running through and just kind of ignoring enemies was like you started implementing that strategy much more readily there.
Yeah.
Which is something you can do a lot, and you don't have to kill every enemy. It's like
for what?
You don't have to pick up every piece of treasure.
It's true. That's a growing moment in playing Diablo 2, I think, a lot. Mm-hmm. There's some point at which you stop picking up junk items and stop like selling absolutely every last little thing to merchants and stop killing every single enemy in the entire area or whatever. The problem that I had and the reason I came to that conclusion so laggily was that I'm a big slow guy.
Yeah,
I was
running through. You finally had to like unequip equipment and find, oh, I am lighter and can run really fast when I'm wearing the gold hem set. Let's just run through.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That was sort of a patch for my approach of the archers, and it was my positive plan. Once I got to a later part that I think we'll talk about. So,
You did also find the hovel set there.
I did, and I loved it, and I basically never took it off.
An hypothesis. The hovel set.
Oh, weren't there some invasions and some... again, past the Sense Fortress, it was a lot more common to have summons and invasions occur.
There were a lot more non-known people invasions in... Because Anor Londo is a very hotbed for, like, just people invading in general. Because people like to summon for that fight,
and if you're summoned,
you're human, and if you're human, you're vulnerable. Okay. So it's also like a good level for it because, at that point in the game, I mean, if you played before that, because it's coming from a veteran and
specific,
people are kind of easy pickings before that,
right?
At that point in the game, people start getting dangerous and can fight back, and that's more fulfilling to have a fair fight against the people you're invading.
Yeah, you know what? It's also what I consider a coward's battleground because it's big and wide and open, and there's no immediate physical peril just from the terrain.
Yeah, it's
so, true.
The reason people like it is because it's very open. There's people there who go there and intentionally bait invaders.
Right. And
it feels like it because it's open.
It feels like a wrestling ring, is I guess my point there.
Yeah.
And
steel cage.
And if you want the cage match, I never want the cage match. I want to like kick you off a cliff, right? I don't want to fight fair in this game. No way. As soon as I've decided to fight fair, I lose to the first thing that is not.
That's very true. And nobody fights fair in Dark Souls. Because if everybody fought fair, there'd be no backstabs.
Okay, so, no, I remember a specific invader that you might be talking about. There was one guy who, like, showed up and he was naked, and then he, like, ate something and became a dragon man.
Oh, that was Upstage Payload, a.k.a. Funklimus Moslimus, who was showing you secret dragon tech.
I have no idea what that was. He touched me once, and it was all my health, and I'm like, whoa, what the hell?
I think I was summoned with you at that point, and he invaded, and I'm like, well, okay, let's see what I can do about this guy. And I see he's like dragon form, and I'm just like, oh, well.
Oh, the dragon form is such a gimmick because it's very powerful, but it also requires you to be naked, so you're vulnerable.
Yeah, there was also another invader in that area, Huzzah, actually. Who was like trying to poison poo gas you.
Yeah. Oh no, I remember that. And then I was like, get out of here, and he ran off a cliff.
Yeah.
And so he thank you. Right.
Yeah, that was Huzzah.
Okay.
I also got snubbed several times in that. Cuz if you get invaded, there's a cooldown time between your deck the next time you can be invaded.
Oh, okay.
You have a safety net.
People were beating me to the chop, and I was like, like,
you're just sitting there waiting behind the velvet rope.
And then I put down a red summon sign where everyone was putting down their summon signs. You look at it, it says summon dark spirit gnome bitten. And then you just walked away. And I was like,
So we didn't explain the red summon signs because they only came up there and at the
very end.
So to quick explain those are basically you summon an invader.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it's the honorable invasion where you are, you know, if you want
it's like mutually agreed upon handshake dueling.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
It's like, let's fight. Let's do that.
Battle. That was what I was attempting to set up in the kiln.
Yeah, that's what we were all, except other people were summoning us and we had to crush them while we were waiting.
Yeah. Anyway, that's more awesome stuff on the kiln, but yeah.
Yeah.
So you got to the boss fight there.
I did. I tried killing the little guy and then the big guy got tough and I'm like, oh shit, that's the wrong way. And so I killed the big guy and then the little guy got tough and that was worse, maybe. I don't know. I had a hard time telling. But then I'm like, okay, if we kill them at the same time, then they won't be able to do that. And I tried it, and I tried to coordinate with this person that I couldn't actually, like, I wasn't on Skype with, you know? So if they're listening to me at all, it's through the stream, and there's a delay. And then I'm like, I just tried to time it. And I'm like, okay, intentionally, like, passing up damage so that I wouldn't do too much and kill the thing before my partner, who was variably like you, Slyonine, or Lady Perth.
Yep.
And that didn't work.
I don't know
if it's possible.
It's not.
Oh,
we try gins? Like we tried.
We tried it, and what'll happen is one of the two will invariably die before the other by, like, a frame. And the other full heals when the cutscene plays.
Mm-hmm,
so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I eventually got that. So, I decided ultimately that fighting the bigger guy was better. And
I was there.
You helped me out, and at some point you decided to let me get the last hit.
Yep, I Obi-Wan'd the fight. I just took the turned around and saw me take the hammer to the face.
It's a pretty good shot, and even better than this, and you'll love this moment. If you're just doing the highlights, skip to that part because I had much the worse of the fight after that moment, trying to get the last like sliver of his health off, and I actually died in the attempt. And it said, victory achieved, you have
died.
And I'm like, wait, did it count? Did it count? And it counted. And I'm like, yeah!
That was That was something that happened to Logical a number of times in his fights. And in certain fights, if that happens, you don't end up getting like some of the loot.
Huh. Yeah, sometimes they drop an item when they die, and if you die while they die, you don't get the item.
Hmm.
The souls you get from the fight will end up in your bloodstain, so you don't lose that, but you will sometimes lose the item.
Wow, that's amusing.
Yeah, but yeah, I was that was a very good
that was,
you know,
that was a perfect
KO.
That was a perfect end of that.
And that fight is actually one of those, because depending on which one you kill last, you get a different reward for it.
Huh.
Like, if you kill the fat one last, you get the soul of Smo, although there's no real pronunciation of that word if you said Sma or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And if you kill the skinny one last, you get the soul of Ornstein, and you also get a ring that does almost nothing.
Leo's ring.
Man, I felt like there were a million rings that didn't do anything.
There kind of are. There's a lot of rings. Yeah. Not all of them are useful.
Because I'm like, okay, Havel's ring for the extra load, ring of steel protection for having a little shield icon on my thing, although I never knew I was being protected from steel.
protected from or by steel.
Yeah. And obviously the later actually useful mandatory ring almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the same amount. One thing the Iron Goal is that there's a lot of the fight like milling usefulness or like some like when I play defense I was attached to a ring you didn't encounter which I won't bring up, but the other ring I was attached to was the greed ring.
No, you had the snake ring, the more items ring. Higher number
more items ring. I was like, I could not take that off because I was like, greed magic
stat, like you're
take off my magic fine, you know,
that
pass in my
is and I you both had a ring that is widely considered nigh useless, that you both made heavy use of.
I didn't even think of that. So early in the game, you found the ring of blue,
blue tear stone
ring, and one was a ring that also found quite early.
Oh my god, that saved my ass.
Same here. It saved my ass like more times than I can count. But every single person in the zoo, gnome, every single other person that's played this game will tell you that ring is utterly useless and doesn't do anything. But I love it.
it's when it's useful. Okay, because here's what it does. When you're below like 30 or 20% health, your defense increases by 40%. So that can make your last little wedge of health kind of tough. And that came up.
That came up like a dozen times.
Because you wore it so long, it came up. There are other rings that either just make you generically tougher or like do the thing better. Or you can wear the red tier stone ring, which increases your attack by 40% when you're low on health, which is a power ritual.
Huh. Well, yeah, anyway.
It was a ring we both had and we both made use of.
Yeah, I loved that thing. That was... honestly, it was probably the first ring that I found that had any use at all.
Yeah, like, that's the real thing.
Up to that point, I had found, like, oh, this increases the damage of sorcery, or this has, like, no particular use, or,
attunement slots.
I actually used the one that gave me extra attunement slots, and then I'm like, oh, well, maybe I can get more out of this, and I finally found other stuff. And then this is like, huh. And then the icon popped up, and I'm like, oh, it saved my life, yeah.
It happened a lot in the Tomb of the Giants. Like, you would take a hit and go to, like, a sliver when you should have died.
You're like, ah, guts. But
guts
not, like,
go to one.
Real guts. Not, like, guts that the game enforces, but guts that you believe that you have, so you do.
Yeah,
and... that's even better. There's some debate as to whether the ring actually works as soon as your health goes below, like as you're taking the hit, or if it only takes effect.
Yeah, that would be difficult to figure out. So I did talk to the giant lady who is in the painting, and then there she is, and she talks super loud because she is a giant.
Well, she's a god.
Okay, if you say so, but like then I used the skull lantern to get a better look at her.
So I guess this is a good point. I have a little note that just says plot, and kind of I wanted to ask you what you felt of the kind of like the world and the story and the like ongoings of Dark Souls and how like how you perceive that.
Okay, so at the very beginning, I watched the opening cutscene, and there were things that ultimately came around to being important, but by the time I recognized that they were important, I had forgotten what the hell they were. To the point of when I talk to this lady and she's like, okay, you're the special guy and you have to do everything and relight the fire or whatever. And then I'm like, what is the, oh my God, stop talking at me already. It was this huge plot dump. It felt like the plot was as large as the woman telling it to me. And I just felt like leaving, but I also felt like I needed to keep going on because of the stream. And so if I had not been streaming the game, I probably would have like taken a slower pace through Dark Souls after that point. But since she said, okay, here, go to it, beat up the bosses or whatever, I'm like, oh, wait, no, she mentioned Great Lord something or another.
Yeah, she said the Great Lord.
She said the words. She said the words.
And then I'm like,
and she said, I think she said,
somebody,
light the fire and succeed the Great Lord Gwyn. I think it's what she, either her or the snake says that.
And then I'm like, oh, you know, the Great Lord. And I tried to talk to her again, maybe to get more like information, but she just sort of repeated the same stuff.
You joined her club.
I did, whatever that means. And like, I joined like, okay, I joined the like Miracle Man Covenant at the very beginning. And then Spider Fire Lady Covenant for no reason at all when I found her, other than it was a thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then Giant Lady Person, I joined her covenant after finding her because I felt that she might be more on the like miracle side of things, but didn't really understand what that meant at all.
She kind of is. And okay, so the Way of the White, which is the first covenant, well, you as a knight, you start the game in that covenant by default. Knights and clerics both do. It supposedly raises like your friendly online interaction rate and like makes it oh so slightly harder to get invaded, although it doesn't actually matter. But it's mostly for fluff. Like, you follow this religion. This is what makes your miracles cool.
Okay.
Oh, there's the donuts.
Then there's the, oh, yeah, there's the donuts!
Oh,
yeah!
Jesus. Okay, that would happen...
I forgot about the donuts!
That would happen extremely rarely, and then my miracle would have a little circle on it, and then I'm like... something's happening.
All right.
What is it?
Would people in the Way of the White Covenant cast a miracle, connected worlds will get a donut in their world.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're close to the donut and the donut sign is on that miracle, it'll make it stronger. So while you had the donut on your heel, you would have healed more health than normal.
That's it.
That's it.
Good
that's
God.
What
a throwaway interaction.
The veil revealed.
I was trying to interact with the donut. I'm like, because the game even reinforced that because there was a little orange donut that was the point at which the imps pick you up. So I'm like, oh, you can interact with those somehow.
Donuts are real. Okay.
God.
The donut.
The game is so good at reinforcing lies.
It is.
It's so good at it.
I love it.
That's
it's
almost
so
astonishing. That's artistic in a way. I just want to sit and appreciate my own stupidity at looking at this donut and presuming that there was something to it.
It's like looking at abstract art. There's
I
nothing
can't
there.
Hold like, this
to
lever.
What's in the art?
Okay, so I did talk to her, and she mentioned the thing, and I was like, that was the whole my motivating force was getting through that door that I had found that one time. It was like, okay, Lord Gwyn, I'll find him and that or become him or whatever. And then she also let me warp, which was awesome.
Warping.
Yeah. The warping mechanic is so useful.
It is, but then like I could go to some places but not others, and it felt arbitrary.
It is arbitrary because it didn't used to be.
Oh.
Used to, you could only warp to Firekeeper bonfires.
So Orlando and the Firelink Shrine.
So
and the Spider Lady is also
and the Spider Lady. There were maybe I think that was it. Then they added them for bonfires that were by covenants. So like, Dark Moon Tomb is by a covenant, so you could warp there.
Yeah, that always felt weird because I can warp to this place and it's right next to this one, and I'm like, What? Why?
And then I think they added them so that you could just warp to generically useful places to warp, and at that point it actually was arbitrary.
Okay.
So they just chose, like, Undead Parish became a place you could warp to because it was... Undead Parish is one of those kind of...
It is a crossroads.
Focal points, yeah.
It is a
buttress.
You can get to right a lot of different places.
And it's right next Gray, who's, like, an important NPC. So it is kind of arbitrary.
Okay.
At one point, you didn't know if you could warp to Duke's or not, Duke's Archives, because you were looking at it from Duke's Archives.
Okay.
And it doesn't show its own
warp. You can't warp to your own place for whatever reason.
That was another thing that convinced me that it was a bad idea to go remove my curse, because I thought I would have to go fight through a whole bunch of stuff, even on the way back.
Which is weird. Is it this... warp to your own bonfire in Dark Souls 2? I don't know.
For that very reason. Just so you know that it is a place to go.
I guess Duke's is the next place, though, that you did end up going because you went up the...
The Tang Wall.
The Tang Wall. You knew that there was a wall there.
Right. Because it was in a cutscene, and I had seen it a little, and I'm like, I know where that is. And then there was a boar... And then another boar, and they didn't come back, and I got a helmet.
You got the boar hat.
Boar hat.
Then my recollection of the next part of that is a little hazy, but I remember ending up in jail.
You ended up in wizard jail.
There is a forced death in that place.
Okay, so when you encounter Seath, they
force that death because they really want you to know this guy is immortal. You can't beat him. And they do that by, like, placing him. You can skip that forced death by doing the most difficult speedrun skip in the game.
Well, let's not worry about that, but rather... Okay, so I got to...
Wizard Jail.
I got to Wizard Jail.
But for future reference, it's the best place to use your Ring of Sacrifice.
Hmm.
You might... I don't know if there was, but every once in a while you'll see a need ring... Like, sign outside of that
door.
Yeah,
I never understood what need ring meant, because there's a lot of rings. And
I know, need ring is a very generic message. Like, sometimes the very generic message is, like, try right. That one was a really good one in the one for Bed of Chaos.
Yeah.
That was a very generic one, but once you knew what it was saying, it was useful. But try ring, there's about 1,000 things that could mean.
Right.
Should I explain what need humanity means while we're talking about messages?
I presumed, if you'll allow me, that whenever Need Humanity came up, well, the first time I thought it meant that Andre will only talk to you while you are human, which was a mistaken belief that I kept through basically the entire game. I presumed that it meant the upcoming boss was difficult to the point of designing in the need for assistance, so you should... become human and summon a buddy. And that I just sort of kept.
I think that one's generally true, but...
It's not what people are leaving the message for. That goes back to a fraud mechanic that I still don't believe is true, even though I've tested it and found it to be true. Because Jens originally said it to me as a lie, and it turned out to be correct.
The formula.
People leave that message because they think that when a message gets raided, it'll cause you to gain the humanity while you're out fighting mans.
That number you keep getting.
Yeah, if you've ever noticed while you were out fighting, you would suddenly get a number.
Like, randomly, and I would notice that I had it way after it actually appeared, and I'm like, wait, why is there a one? Where did I get a number? And
see it happen, because sometimes when you kill an enemy, like a black fart will fly out of them and into your body, and your number will go up. That is determined by a formula based on how many number of enemies you've killed that are a certain kind of enemy while the boss is still alive. And then once the boss is dead, it stops happening. And
that's again almost the Castlevania 2 level up.
We were in the stream, and I, like, Gnome had brought up that people left the Need Humanity message around, and I posited to Gnome that there was a formula that controlled everything.
And that you said a formula that was bullshit and almost right, and I still don't believe it.
And like right. six months later, we find this wiki page that has the formula.
So when they leave that message, they're telling me to hang around and kill monsters a bunch?
No, they're saying that they want humanity.
They want humanity, and they want you to rate the message so you'll pity give them a humanity, even though it doesn't work.
Oh, Lord.
It's a great communal lie.
That may as well say, I can't take this.
Yeah, basically. It's so dumb. I love it.
That's pretty great.
This game is full of zoo lies.
It is. They get printed on the ground, and you can read them and rate them even. Oh Lord! It also took me forever to figure out that the marker item didn't get spent.
I presume
the first time I saw it that I can use this one thing to write one message. So this is precious, and I need to. Yeah.
Because you did end up writing a couple messages to either help or, I think mostly help. I don't think you had many hindering messages that you left.
You downvoted some hindering messages. Wasn't there a time where you thought I was writing all the messages?
Early on, I thought that almost every single message was you somehow affecting my game. So there was like the specter of Gnome always around me.
Perfect.
There was like, sometimes I left messages, and you did sometimes read them.
Yep, as did I.
When it said try humanity, that was me trying to get you to do that.
In the kiln, we all left try humanity messages all over the place.
Mm-hmm. We wanted you to duel us.
Yep.
Get a real weapon.
Wizard jail.
So I got to wizard jail, and I'm like, wait. I'm actually stuck, and it's like, okay, let me try to homeward bone or whatever, and it wouldn't let me. And I'm like, okay, so this is a mandatory being stuck in here thing. What's that? A sleeping guard. And okay, so that one again isn't so bad to figure out because it's extremely strict as to what is available to you and what kind of things, right? So. You know, it's more like three-card Monty than chess in that it's like flip over the right one. Okay, great.
Yeah. Because you fought your way down. You fought the squids.
Squids had a grab attack.
Yeah. Yep. I super kept my distance from them for that reason, and also because, that thing had the soundtrack in it.
Yes, it did, and that affected the squids.
It did. Sometimes they would go fall to their deaths when I did that.
That was the best. I had never seen that before.
I presume that it was the purpose.
It was
like the snakes turned it on and then ran the hell away. Yeah, and I'm like,
the snakes were sending the squids after to kill you, and they must have done that by have like a script that tells the squids to run up the stairs. So when you turn the music back on. They ran up the stairs, and then the thing that said to try to kill you turned on, so they tried falling to get you.
And just died.
I can explain a little more about this. There is a cutscene that plays where the snakes turn the crazy music on that sounds like screeching craziness, and it's really offensive, but I loved it immediately for some reason, and I couldn't get enough of it. I think because I was hurting someone else somewhere, I just knew that me turning it on was causing some other human physical harm, and I wanted to positively do it at that time. So there's a cutscene that plays, and it turns on, and then they run past me, and they're like booking it out of there. I'm like, what? Where are you guys going? And I ran after them, and they booted me off the ladder, and I died. So I started back at the Wizard Jail bonfire, and they were still running past me, but the music was gone.
Yep.
And I'm like, this is definitely wrong. Turned it back on, and then I saw the little squids go up, and they're like, where are they going? And then they fell and died, and I'm like, this is the thing that kills them easily.
The snakes usually run past you because their job is to, like, block the door. Which is why it's a pain in the ass to fight them up at the top, because it's this tiny little place.
Yeah.
And they're on this ladder.
Fighting on ladders was the worst thing in the world.
Yep.
If you press light attack, you'll punch above you, and if you press heavy attack, you'll kick below you. It's never useful.
Yeah, I never figured that out. and I didn't really want to be there. I tried to slide with enough momentum to crush guys, but that only worked some of the times, and only on like smaller skeletons and stuff.
Yeah,
the snakes are too large.
They're really huge. So at I did. So I got the squids.
You're still using your raw club, I guess. Yeah, raw club. Worth noting.
Yeah, raw club is still on.
I would occasionally get enemies' attention by shooting whatever arrows at them.
Yeah, and that's a good tactic. That's something a lot of people come up with because it's pulling. It's like how in God Hand when you throw barrels at guys.
Mm-hmm.
Or you taunt the guy that's in your range.
Yeah. Ah. So that was fine. I never really used it for damage except against the zombie dragon thing at some point. There was... I beat up the squids, and then there was another locked door that used... There were like a million keys in this place, and yes. I hated that. Because it's like, oh, I got the key. Good. I'll be able to open... Nope. Can't open that. Nope. You need a different key for that. It feels like there's way too many of them.
Because you ran into Big Hat in there.
I did.
Ah, the wizard.
He got captured. And then later, when I actually did get out of that place and did find the other key and came back and freed him... I got basically nothing out of it. There was like an item at the far end of the room, and he just sort of sat there.
There's a firekeeper.
There was
soul
a firekeeper
back
soul back there. Yeah,
that still felt not worth it at that point.
The thing is that Big Hat Loghain, once you free him from there, stays in Duke's archives as a merchant.
He sells sorceries. He also has a very useful hint. He's the guy. If you talk to him after freeing him, he'll tell you that. Hey, if you want to fight Seath, you got to break the gem world first, or else he's immortal.
Yeah.
I never heard that.
If you're gonna fight the Lich, you got to break his phylactery.
You were in the room he ends up in before he was there, so you didn't think to go back.
Oh Lord. Okay.
When you leave the bonfire, you go behind that bookcase to the left. There's like a side room. Big Hat is just sitting in that side room.
Oh. Okay. Well. Yep. Great, I never found him again.
You erased a wizard from the world.
Yep,
he did. And then the worst part was that his apprentice guy, who was always like, oh, I hope he's okay, was like, oh, glad to see you're doing well, and pray that we never go hollow. And I'm like, don't you care that your master is, like, gone?
Nope.
If you do stuff enough, he'll eventually, like, try to go find Loghain, and then bad things happen. Because
okay, well, neat. Yeah.
I also have a note here about Gnome invading.
I invaded it.
That one felt fair, because you were showing me stuff, and when we tussled, and you had cool moves, and you beat me, and you bowed, and then I'm like, okay.
I tried using mostly stuff that you had on your person, and then I showed you something you had never seen before. Like, the Manserpent Greatsword... The Zweihander and the large club were like all in your inventory at that point. And then the axe that shot laser beams was something else.
Yeah, that was new. But altogether, I felt like this was you telling me to do this boss on my own. And I did.
I actually told you to do that another time. I was killing you there out of spite because you like had just bought me D3, but
No, D3 was bought because of that.
Really?
The other way around. After you had done that, I decided, oh, I'm gonna get you back.
Okay, so
I decided to purchase you Diablo 3 because I know that you hate accepting gifts. And I also wanted you to have it, and it's a great game, and it was half off.
That's
or like
fair.
Or some percentage, yep. Some stupid percentage sure. off, and I'm like, yeah, we're doing this.
You did go and fight Seath on your own, which is a way to do it. That's...
So all right. So I cleared up the area in the courtyard thing and found Siglinde, and she just sort of ran off, and that's fine. She was inside a crystal golem, like a different colored one.
Yeah,
I thought that was cool, but also kind of random and not at all prefaced.
There's another one of those in the game. Mm-hmm. It's a lead up to the DLC.
Yeah.
Oh, well, great. I guess I'll experience that some other time.
And Seath sort of like, if you read item descriptions, Seath sort of like goes out and captures young women to like do immortality experiments on, and apparently that's what happened. Oh. He traps them in golems.
Honestly, I liked getting information from item descriptions of no importance more than getting important information from them.
I love the item descriptions of Dark Souls just because it's like you learn about characters that don't even matter in the game. You learn about these
Allfather Lloyd.
Yeah. This is a person you won't actually meet, or maybe even this is a person you met, but this isn't important plot info. It's just some extra, this is Hovel.
It feels like an appropriate way to implement a data log.
It does.
For your fluff.
I love all of the flavor text on items. I also appreciate that much of it is not actually flavor text and interspersed with things that might actually be useful.
Yeah,
and I kind of like that part of it.
It's all very light and all very pragmatic. There's a ton of it.
What I resent about it is when it purports to be technical fact when it is not or is the opposite. And that is not something that it should be.
That's like when the Dragon Crest Shield says, you use this if you want to fight against fire. And true enough, it has good fire block. Like, if for most shields, we have blocked, like, 40 or 60% of fire damage, 85 is kind of a lot, but you had the Black Knight shield at that point.
I already did. I was being a fool and not trusting numbers but descriptions.
Well, because at that point, you had run into items that did have special properties.
Yeah, but usually...
that weren't reported.
Yeah, and usually when those happen, it'll be down at the bottom, it'll be like, special effect, colon... stamina regeneration.
Yeah, the important fact there is that I had at some point gotten a ghost dagger.
Right.
And I could use it to defeat the ghosts without the transient curse.
Mm.
So I thought, oh. And then it also has some little thing on it, like a special number. And I'm like, oh, okay, so I can just damage them with magic. Then later I tried to use a magic club, and that did nothing. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I decided that it was a property of the Ghost Blade and that descriptions were, like, overruled numbers.
Now, there is... what is the description on the Jagged Ghost Blade? Because there are three weapons that can fight ghosts. Well, one of them is the Jagged Ghost Blade.
At any rate, I'm happy with how I handled Ghostland when I found that.
Yeah, you actually went to Ghostland before... you went there to heal a curse. You went there very early. I don't have notes of that first.
I don't remember when it was, but I think it was before I went to Orlando.
Yeah, this was Stone Armor Club. I don't know if this was the realm of Plus Three Club or if this was the realm of
You were looking for places to go, and you found Ghost Town. Went through the entirety of it. Found the Ingwe, the guy in red there.
Hmm.
And found, like, a door you couldn't go through because that place is quite locked off until you get the Lord Vessel.
Although, is it?
Though murder can...
if you murder Ingwe, he drops the key.
So you can just keep going and...
beautiful.
Yeah. Anyway, you went through there early and did everything that you possibly could at that point.
It felt pretty damn empty.
Yes.
And a little bit of that I felt was on purpose because it's like, okay, there are ghosts. It's
ghost
supposed
town.
To be a little empty and a little darker and a little like they pop out and they scream. And yeah, that made it effective. But I didn't like the fact that there was nothing to it, basically. I like found one item,
right,
like a ring on the roof. And then just sort of left.
But
it did remind me of what was there, and I did find the Jagged Ghost Blade as a random drop from one of the ghosts, and I felt like I well understood how to fight ghosts, which I basically did.
You also found Ingward and Ingwe?
Inglo.
You found him and found that he was the person who could help with curses, so you came back to him later.
Which was important.
Oh, Lord, the fact that you went back there later was such a huge thing just because you got the key and then could progress.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm cursed. Wait, he has other stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, what the hell? That was
That
was pretty great.
But
we're
still
in the Crystal Cave.
Crystal Cave,
which has invisible floors.
Yes, it does.
And I also resent that and think it is a piece of shit and should not be in the game, and I still resent it.
Welcome to the club. I I very much dislike that choice as well, and it's, you know, for how much I love, for how much I very much enjoy and love playing Dark Souls, there's so many moments where it's, this is incredibly stupid.
I don't like Crystal Cave Zone, but it does give you multiple indications of where the paths are.
It gives you tiny hints that might be impossible to see if your monitor has other things projecting light at you.
Yeah.
And I only picked up on that much, much later, and it still basically lied to me.
Yeah. And you at least had the prism stones, which is, they came in handy there.
That was a place where the prism stones did not lie to you.
Pretty damn important.
Yeah. That was, yeah, I don't really like Crystal Caves, and I don't hate it as much as I used to.
Once I got to the bottom and fought the slappies.
The clams.
Those were slappies.
I very much love the clams. They're one of my favorite enemies in the game because they are full of pearl skulls.
I really like that. They're beautiful. Like the texture that they have on the inside of them is pearlescent and looks really great. I mean,
they're full of skulls and they're fun to fight.
They're a little goofy. Oh, also they will break your stuff.
Right. We had never seen that before, had we?
I didn't know that.
If they chomp you, they deal a ton of break damage to whatever you have equipped. Mm-hmm. And in the case of the offhand items that I had, the lantern and the talisman, those have very low maximum durability.
So they just cracked.
And so they immediately broke. And then I thought my weapons were broken, and I'm like, wait. No, it's just the skull lantern. Yeah. Like,
weapon was broken. The skull lantern is a weapon.
Was broken.
Yeah. So I thought that was neat. The problem that I had was they're basically just in that one room and there's a ton of them. I felt it was the skeleton wheel problem.
They do show up elsewhere.
Okay. And but even still, it's like, okay.
They actually,
here's a new thing. Fight a bunch of it. And I'm like, I don't want to. And I started running past them.
There's in the speed run, because the fog door to that boss fight only shows up after you've been in the boss fight. They get clams or no clams, because the clams can follow you into the boss fight against Seath.
Oh Jesus!
If they're too close to you.
So you can get the clams only the first time when there's no fog door. The clams can be so close that, you know, Seath will appear, and then you'll be like, "All right, go break the thing. Turn around. There's Seath. Oh, there's two clams."
And you're hoping for no clams when you're, because the speed run is also done at like 20% health.
Beautiful.
For the red.
So Seath's fight. We did speak about Seath's fight before.
Okay. So I went into Seath, and immediately there was all kinds of stuff all over the screen and I couldn't see anything. Then the game, I felt, lagged out a little, but it actually wasn't.
No, it actually did lag out.
There was a part of it that didn't, but there was still stuff and I still had health left, but I couldn't see where I was or where anything was because there were just crystals everywhere. Mm-hmm. Then I finally died.
The crystals, when they appear on screen, will actually lag the game up.
Yeah, because a lot of polygons suddenly being rendered, and then suddenly not being rendered.
So that happened, and it was after a very long session, and I got very tired and depressed, and I had to stop. And I'm like, no, we'll do this next time. I'm not beating this boss right now in my current state. And so I began the next stream with basically that. I might have gone somewhere else just to like warm up or do something, but I felt like that whole episode was just fighting that thing.
And it sort of was, yeah.
You know, I tried a couple different things, and I eventually got some hits in on him, and the number popped up, but his bar didn't change.
Yep.
And I'm like, there's something else to this. And then I gravitated to the only other thing in the entire room and broke the rod. And that was the correct thing to do, because then you can damage him.
Right. Yeah. He is an immortal lich, and if you bust his phylactery, he gets mad.
Mm-hmm. And he shouts and creates more lag.
That was good. What I didn't like so much about it was the fact that I had no idea where the crystal's hitboxes were.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing there is that blocking doesn't look like it has an effect, but actually does.
Oh, Lord.
And another thing is, he has a very obvious tell to, like, his most dangerous crystal attack, like the explosion. Because he'll, like, hunker down and, like, put his claws together while he's charging up, and you can run away from the blast area during that time.
Yeah.
I think at this point I decided I needed to be faster. And my ultimate success against Seath was when I put on, like, lighter gear and was able to dodge his stuff. And then he was basically unable to touch me. And
yeah, he's very slow and lumbering and sort of depends on area attacks. So if you can kind of avoid those, he's not so bad.
So if my setup was ideal for Copra Demon to the point where I didn't feel like it was a boss, it was the absolute wrong thing for Seath.
The only poor thing about it with Seath was your weapon. You could
say, okay, yeah, that was
the rock club there was not cutting it. It was very outdated at that point.
See, you kept the rock club through three of the Lord Soul fights, and it was like, I think on Seath we thought it, like, oh, he's got the rock club. Is this actually still possible? And then it kept going, and it's like, how is this even still happening? Your numbers are. And it hit a tipping point at four kings later. So
yeah.
4.5 kings.
Four or more or fewer kings.
Four tilde kings.
That's something worth bringing up. One of the times you got cursed by Cease, you had died, and then as you were fading out, you got cursed.